I'm a creative in quarantine. I ain't
Welcome to the Javon Show. I am your host, Javon, and I am so excited to be with you today on another wonderful day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be a little bit glad, because why not? You've made it another day to get over whatever happened yesterday, to do it better today, and to have some fun. Now, today, we have an exciting guest because we're going to break away from the traditional musical artists. We're not going to do all of that singing and gyrating and stuff today. No. We're going to have some good motivational, inspirational talk to help you all get through this Wednesday. And I couldn't think of a better person to have on the show than my sister. Nope, we're not blood. But, you know, in Christ, you know how people do. She's a cousin, a niece, if you will. From the kingdom, Miranda Chanel. How are you doing, Miranda?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I appreciate you being on the show today. Now, we must get this out the way first. Happy birthday, belated.
Thank you. Yes, I'm taking the month.
You should. You get half the month, and I get the other half of the month. July birthdays have been big. My birthday was on the 4th, so I'm a fellow Cancer. My mom's birthday was the 13th. One of the beautiful women who I've loved dearly, Pat Smith, her birthday is today. My girl, Shamari Vaughn, her name is Shamari, but I add the Vaughn on the end. She turned 13 today. So all of these Cancer babies, it's a beautiful, yes. Beautiful
happy
thing.
Birthday to all of us.
To all of us. Give, you know what? And make sure y'all drop us some Cash Apps too. You know what? Send all the Cash Apps to me, and then I'll get them distributed where they need to go. That's what we'll do. Just wanted to give a couple of shout-outs to people who are joining in on the show live. Stephen Logan up there. Congratulations on your American Airlines situation. So, Mr. Logan, congratulations to you. Jonathan Edmondson, another brother out of Illinois. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching the show today. But today isn't about saying hello to Javon. It's about getting us an opportunity to learn and appreciate Miranda Chanel. So for those who do not know, please tell us, who is Miranda Chanel?
So I am Miranda Chanel. I am the voice behind Moments with Miranda, the vlog. By profession, I'm a social worker, but by passion, I'm a life coach. I don't like to be called a life coach because they get all sorts of bad reps. I'm a mentor. That's another title that I'm a little sticky with because it's a whole lot of people with a whole lot of mentees and ain't nobody doing nothing. So I like to call myself your uncomfortability coach. I coach people through the uncomfortable parts of life. I make stuff uncomfortable for you because it's not until we're uncomfortable that we actually change and do the things that we need to do in life. And so I'm really just out here trying to bridge the gap between spiritual health and mental health, and trying to make people's lives a little bit better one moment at a time.
That is what's up. And Mr. Collins, who helped generate today's interview, he's clapping because he knows that we're going to get into some stuff today. And I'm going to be a guinea pig because when I saw Mr. Collins, and I call him Mr. Collins because I can never, I don't ever want to pronounce his first name right. Marquise. is what I go with. But I'm just kidding. So Marcus, when I read through your profile and I saw what you do and how you do it, I said, I would love to get her on the show just so that we can get away from the stigma that is a life coach. I have a life coach. She helps me tremendously through a lot of things. And I figured out that more people need them. If you're not doing therapy, which you should also do, we all could use somebody to talk to therapeutically. But a life coach is a great situation to have. So I don't want you to get away from that title because it's something that we all could use a little coaching through life. Now that you told what your titles are, what are some of the specific ways that you kind of help people get through some of the situations that's going on in their life? And then you and I are going to have a little practice free session today. Sounds as good. Well, we're going to get nice and vulnerable up for the next, and we're going to count this down too, because I don't like being uncomfortable. So we're going to do about, for the next 20 minutes, we're going to do just a little bit of life coaching. real life.
That sounds good.
But give us an idea of, in general, because you gave a macro, but on a micro level, what are some things that you do to help people through their life situations?
So I do one-on-one mentoring. I do conversations over coffee, which is really just consulting where we sit down over a cup of coffee and have a conversation about what it is that's happening in people's lives. By profession, I'm trained to be a therapist. And so I walk people through grief processes, through processing their identity, through processing divorces, through processing anything that may happen in life. For me, I get the title of life coach gets tricky to me because I feel like it's a title that anybody just adds on because they can sit down and tell you their personal opinion on how you should live your life. Mm-hmm. And in reality, they have no educational background. They have no training. They have none of that. And yet, as soon as somebody gives them their ear, all of a sudden they feel like they're a valuable influence. And just because somebody is listening doesn't necessarily mean that they're the influence that you should have in your life. And so for me, I'm not real big on titles. I don't often drop like, hey, I'm degreed in this, or I do this, or I do that. But I really just try to meet people where they are, because the truth of the matter is what's from the heart reaches the heart. And a lot of times in life, we could get through life a little bit easier if we could just have somebody to hold our hand or to walk with us through some of it, or to tell us, don't go that way, sis. I've been down there. You don't want to go that way. Or, you know, like friends who are honest about things. A lot of us don't have real friends or mirrors at home. And that's why we look the way we looked and do the things that we do in public. And so for me, it's about being a presence in the lives of people where there is an absence in some shape, form, or fashion.
Now, I know that you don't like to brag on your education and what makes you valuable and what makes you intrigued in this. But while we're right here at the beginning, what is your educational background and what has prepared you for this season?
Yeah, so I have a bachelor's degree in communications with a minor in African American studies, and I have a master's degree in social work. So I have been a licensed social worker. I've done individual, group, family therapy. I've worked with DCFS, youth in care, with sexually reactive teens and adults. I've worked in juvenile detention with juvenile probation. And my 9-to-5, I currently run a 24-hour mental health crisis line for the state of Illinois.
So then what you're saying is that you are prepared for such a season.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm intentional about making sure that people get not just what sounds good, but what is good.
That is what's up. So I am excited because we're going to do some life coaching this morning. And it's not going to necessarily be me being life coached today. I have someone that has been in need of life coaching for the last 21 years, and I'm going to bring him on the line right now. His name is Maurice Griffin.
Hi.
Hey, beautiful. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
Maurice Griffin is a Sunday's Best finalist. He is an accomplished singer, songwriter, producer, entrepreneur, and he has just been navigating through life carefree, willy-nilly. And for whatever reason, he likes to come on my show because he knows that, number one, he's going to have a good time. Number two, I'm going to point out that his guitar keeps falling further and further into the pit of despair.
You don't leave my guitar alone.
Only something that I would notice. Hey, don't worry about fixing now. That's why we have a life coach on, to recognize those things and fix it. Now, Maurice, thank you for coming on the show and co-hosting again and being vulnerable today as Miranda kind of life coaches us through some things today. Are you ready to be a little bit life coached?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to start by asking, you know what? I'm going to just back off a little bit. And I'm going to say, Miranda, how would you normally open up a conversation with a new client such as Maurice?
I don't know that we have enough time for all that, but I would ask, and that had nothing to do with you. But I would ask what it is that they're looking for. A lot of times people get into relationships with coaches and they think, hey, I need a business coach. I'm trying to get somebody to help me launch this business. And in reality, their business isn't working because their life isn't working. Right. So they think they need a business coach, but in reality, they need to work through their relationship issues because that's why they can't keep a business partner. So I always start off consults and potential new clients with asking, what is your goals and where is it that you're trying to go? And why is it that you feel you need somebody to assist you in this path to figure out where we start or if I'm even a good fit?
And what would you respond to that with, Maurice?
I would respond, if I was doing it, I would respond to as my goal is to be the best me I can be as possible. And to expose that to a generation of people that feel like they don't need what I'm doing, and being able to merge that together and be the example that people need to see so they can be inspired to live a better life as well. That's something that I would, you know, want to have a life coach with. Everything about what I do ties into that. And I would need somebody to kind of talk that with. So that I can have, people calling me Jesus. Can you see what happened? Where's my Google? Oh, there you are. Okay, so I would say that, and then I would tie it into because of my brand. I think that in this generation, everybody wants to be able to see as much as they can so they can trust as much as they can. So that for me, it can translate into dollars. And then also building a brand that can establish for other people to grow as well.
And then, and with that being said, Miranda, where would you go from there? What would be some of the questions that you would help to, I guess, present to help him kind of walk through where he's trying to go?
So the key thing that stood out to me to be the best you that you can be. And so I would ask you, who are you? Stripping yourself of the titles, stripping yourself of I'm a finalist, stripping yourself of I'm a singer, I'm a musician, I'm this and I'm that. I would ask you, who are you deeper than that? Take your titles off and tell me who that is. Because in order to become the best you, you have to figure out who you are and not who people say you are. And you also have to figure out who it is that you desire to be. Because sometimes when we're building a brand, we build our brand around who what we think is going to attract people. Because what we want to do out of that brand is make money. But if you're making money and attracting people out of an identity that you're not comfortable with, then your brand is eventually going to fall apart because you can only fake it for so long. We live in a world that tells us fake it till you make it. And I tell people that that's a lie because nobody ever makes it.
Faking it.
We can pull it, faking it. You know what I'm saying? We can pull any musician almost who faked it and we can start to pull out their reputation and not their resume of what shows that faking it till you make it is a lie that we tell people to get them into a business. And then they lose themselves because they don't really know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a problem that we have, not just in the music industry. I came from a long line. So my grandfather was a producer. My dad was a musician. My godfather was a producer. I'm talking like platinum records on the wall. So I know the industry. And I know that behind the scenes of the industry, the industry tells us who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
They tell us how to show up, how to dress, what to say. Until one day we wake up and we decide we don't want to do that, or we can't hide behind the brand that they're creating for us anymore. And then we're in shambles and we're trying to figure out how to resolve and how to retain this little bit that we have. And a part of that is because we don't really know who we are.
Yeah.
So who are you?
So who am I? I'm a guy that loves to love. I like to cook. I'm a tourist. I like to, when people come in, I like to host. I'm a big guy on hospitality.
And he makes a mean macaroni and cheese. Keep going. Don't let me, but keep going though. I'll step back.
Get out of here. No, but that's me. I love to smile. Currently, who I am currently, I'm a guy that smiles through the eyes of other people. Mm-hmm. I won't be satisfied until I satisfy you.
There has to be something deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because your satisfaction cannot be dependent upon other people who ain't satisfied with themselves. And so we find ourselves in these cycles where we're living for the accolades or the responses of whatever the audience may be, And the minute that the audience finds something more attractive, now we're trying to figure out where we went wrong, when in reality, the only place that we went wrong is that we were dependent upon the temporary emotions of somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so when I asked you who you were, you told me all of these things. I'm a cook, I'm a host, I'm this, I'm that. You told me what you do. You didn't tell me who you are.
Really? Okay. All right. So let me, Diva! Diva! What you about to say, boy? What you about to say?
We're here. We're listening. Yeah. Go, Diva.
Okay. So who is Maurice? Maurice Griffin is a 35-year-old man. Who loves to sing. Well, that's what I do. Maurice Griffin is a 35-year-old man that is alone a lot, who's a loner, who likes to have company but don't tend to have it because of his work. And I am a person who likes to, oh, well, that's still doing. So let me take the doing out. I'm careful. I am very strategic. I like to help people. I'm too nice. I'm passive. I try to be the mediator of things. I have a lot on my plate, so I'm stressed a lot, but I tend to use exercise as a way of stress relief. So that is something. Am I doing right? Doing okay?
Yeah.
What else? Who is Maurice Griffin? Maurice Griffin is a sweet guy. He loves people. My goal is to, you know, be that guy that everybody says, oh, that's my boy. He's a nice guy. He's nice. He's sweet. He's loving. He's caring. But that's just me. I grew up looking at that. So I became that.
So my question for you would be, who does those things for you?
Nobody but me.
And that is why you are who you are. Mm-hmm. Because what you do is give off what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you would walk through coaching, mentoring, whatever title people want to give it, I would go back and we would go deep. And we would figure out why you feel like you have to be the person who shows up for everybody and why you feel like you have to be the mediator all the time and why it is that your happiness is in making other people happy, because the same grace that you give out to others, you also deserve. And so learning how to give ourselves the things that we so willingly give to others is a skill that very few people have, and that is very difficult to learn, because we live in a society that says that we're supposed to be small when in reality we were born big.
Yeah.
And so even in being in the music industry, that mentality, it will get you into all of the rooms, and then it will get you abused.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the gospel industry, miss me with this whole, like, ain't no church hurt. If we are the church and you hurt me, then I'm church hurt. Okay. Right. And so now I'm looking at God, asking God, why would you put me in a place that was going to hurt me if this is a gift that you gave me? And why do I even want to do this anymore? And now I'm in this cyclical cycle between people and my relationship with God and my gifts and my talents and my dreams and my desires. And we go back into that thing of, if I just don't need anything, then nobody can disappoint me.
Yeah.
And so that is where I would work with you. And I would pull it all out from the root.
Ooh. Let me ask Maurice, how comfortable is it being vulnerable and uncomfortable for you, like in this type of moment?
Say it again. How comfortable does what?
How comfortable is it being vulnerable in this type of moment? Like with like releasing and going deep like that with someone?
For me, it's a deliverance. It's a progress. Stress relief. And for me, I feel like it's good because you can become more at peace with yourself, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people are not at peace. They say they're at peace, but they're not at peace because they never get to really say or do what they really want to say or do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that for me, I'm so comfortable being vulnerable and I'm so at peace with it and I'm almost so used to it that it becomes scary sometimes. Like, why are you so okay with putting all of your business out there? Is that a sign, Miranda, of trouble, or is it more of a sign of security? Is it false security? Do you understand, I guess, where I'm going with it?
I do, yeah. So it could go both ways. So the truth of the matter is that healing happens in vulnerability, but healing also happens in community. And we think that we can heal all by ourselves, but in reality, healing happens amongst other people who have the ability to hold us together when we feel like all we need to do is fall apart. And vulnerability is a very scary state to be in when it's real. Our problem, though, is that we confuse vulnerability for being real, and they're not the same. Having a lack of boundaries and not caring and living in this space where it don't matter what nobody thinks about me, that's not necessarily vulnerability. That becomes a defense mechanism so that people can't get close enough to you to hurt you. So you can't hurt me if I put all my business out, if I'm not afraid of it and, you know, it means nothing and these types of things, your judgment rolls off my shoulders, then you're never in a position where you can do me any damage. But at the same token, you're never fragile enough to repair and restore and mold those things in the areas in which you truly need to be vulnerable for. So vomit of the mouth and vulnerability are not synonymous. And so we need to understand the difference in having a space that's safe enough for us to unleash and peel back the layers of the onion and get to the core of what's going on with us. And a lot of times it's going all the way back to something that happened in childhood, the way that we were raised, the presence or lack thereof of our parents. We always talk about daddy issues, but we don't address mama drama. All of that stuff plays a fact in a part in who we as adults. And so when you are truly in a space where you can be vulnerable, it's more than just being able to disclose the details of your experience, but it's disclosing the feelings and the emotions and the outcomes that happen because of those experiences also.
You mentioned something great there and was talking about those people who have those boundaries up. If you're someone, let's say, who is extremely vulnerable and you're free willing to just give out everything that you have, and let's say you're dating someone who has those boundaries up and is guarded, is that can cause friction sometimes, right? So how does the one vulnerable who loves getting and getting information and talking through things share a space with someone who's always guarded, reserved, and doesn't want to give up anything at all?
The same way we do in any relationship, and that's baby steps. Relationships don't have to work in fast forward. And sometimes people need to be able to establish a certain level of trust with you in order to become vulnerable. You don't have to disclose everything all at one time. In fact, I would suggest that if it's the first date and she's telling you all her business or he's telling you all his business, pack up your stuff and run, because they ain't got no boundaries there. They don't have any boundaries anywhere.
Wow.
Boundaries are a life skill. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't have any boundaries about the things that are important and special in your life or the things that shaped who you are, then you won't have any boundaries in the workplace, or you won't have any boundaries with exchanging our business over dinner with your friends or on social media or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so if you are a very comfortable, social, vulnerable individual and your partner isn't, then you have to give them room to grow and to trust you to be able to be vulnerable there. And you have to be able to display the fact that you can be both vulnerable and disciplined enough to have boundaries. I can be very vulnerable in places where it's appropriate and then have very appropriate boundaries in places where they're necessary and appropriate too. There has to be a balance. And if you don't feel like you can be safe with me as your partner because I have a lot of vulnerability, then our relationship will never get to a place where it can be beneficial to both parties, because you will never feel safe.
As a single man, Maurice, and real quick, what's your sign again, Maurice?
Taurus.
You're a Taurus. That's right. That's right. Do you feel yourself being able to be vulnerable and receive vulnerability when you're out meeting and trying to connect with someone?
That is too funny. Yes and yes, but that's a bad thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a bad thing for me because I'm already vulnerable enough in music because that's what music is universal. So you're already vulnerable in that state. So when you get done ministering or traveling, normally 9 times out of 10, I travel because I'm singing. So when I'm vulnerable, I want what I'm missing. Mm-hmm. Really, 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 really bad. And that could be a bad thing because now I'm open to receiving a lot of spirits that I don't need.
Wow, that's deep. That's deep. I was reading something, and I'm not going to say when I was reading it, but I was mentioning, or I happen to realize and understand, I'm getting to a point here, that Miranda is a Cancer woman and Maurice has a Taurus man. There's some compatibility there. And it says that Tauruses and Cancers speak the same love language, money.
I love Miranda.
Sounds tacky, but truly the bull is known for being superb at managing money and the Cancer is serious about planning for the future. Are you planning for your future, Miranda?
Indeed.
I'm going to keep reading then. Emotional and financial security go hand in hand for both signs. Look at your neighbor and say both signs. Both signs.
Both signs.
Both, lest you think this will be a mercenary, loveless pairing. Remember that Tauruses, like Cancers, love classic hearts and flowers romance. Are you a classic hearts and flowers romance type of guy, Maurice?
Absolutely.
Are you a flowers and hearts romance type of person, Miranda?
I am.
I'm going to keep reading then. We're talking bouquets of lilies for no reason, bath bombs and couples cooking classes. The scripture finishes with, we're seeing that bathtub scene from the bridges of Madison County in your future together, minus the whole affair plot. So the Taurus is the number 3 compatibility sign for Cancers. And I know we're talking about boundaries, but it's the Javon show. And he has no boundaries. Miranda was put on this show for a reason. Maurice was put on this show for a reason. And I think that this is the perfect time. Maurice, come on. Time, Maurice, for a creative break. A word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it means. Oh, I'm sorry, were we still? Well, that was a quick creative break introduction. I'm just saying that Tauruses and Cancers make good partners.
Well, Miranda, you're on fleek, so I think you know you may be on to something.
I know I'm on to something. So as we exchange information after this interview, No, Marcus. I knew what I was doing today because as soon as Maurice said he'll come on the show and host on Wednesday, I said, you know, there is a young lady and she's got some skills that could be perfect when merged together with someone. Huh?
It's the hell for me.
Hello.
So we're just totally changing subjects now. Miranda, how can you be reached on social media?
I can be reached on social media at Moments with Miranda on Instagram, Moments with Miranda on Facebook, or Miranda Chanel on Facebook.
Mr. Griffin, how are you being able to be reached on social media?
You can definitely reach out to me everywhere, every social media platform I'm on, or you can just text me 310-388-9323. That's my fan club number. I always reach out to my people. Matter of fact, I'm reaching out to them right now to say, come on live with me.
And what was that phone number one more time so the people can have it?
310-388-9323.
So that's just the number in case anybody wants to just reach out and talk to Maurice Griffin. Maurice's number, Miranda, is 310-388-9323. Really do. Miranda, do you have any children?
I have 2 boys.
Excellent. How old are they?
They're 12 and 5.
12 and 5 are good ages. I have 19, 17, 14, and 8.
God bless your
man. 9. She's 9? She's 8. Vaughn is 8.
I'm out.
Vaughn, how old are you? 8. Thank you. Good Lord.
You better get your son's age. Come on.
Huh? Hell going in. I know I had it right. And are you open to having more, Miranda?
No. The kitchen is closed.
Kitchen is closed. Maurice didn't want no kids anyway.
I'm so glad you tried the spirit and you knew the spirit.
So I wanted to dive seriously into a little bit more of what you were saying about the vulnerability aspect. So allow me to get serious for just one quick second, because you were hitting on some great things with Maurice, and I could definitely see some places where you're going. I just want to make sure that that's where you were going and not just reading into things. So when you are always giving, always vulnerable, always trying to please other people, that's something that you're trying to get back reciprocated to you. How do you prepare, or I guess walk mentally, spiritually, when it's consistently not coming back to you, but yet you're consistently reaching out for it and it's consistently not coming back to you?
First of all, go to therapy.
Well,
get somebody who will walk through this thing with you, because there's no cookie cutter answer for that question. And so a lot of times when you are consistently reaching out and reaching out and reaching out and reaching out, and you're never grasping what it is that you're reaching for, you'll end up with something, but it still won't fill that void that you're looking to fill. And so ultimately what you need to do is to go back and do the work to figure out why it is that you're constantly chasing this thing that appears to be unattainable. And it's not so much that it actually is unattainable, but perhaps you have some work in an area that you need to do, because what you're reaching for and what you're grasping may not actually be able to fill the void that you have. So we think, hey, I'm lonely. I want somebody to be here. And then you end up with somebody here, okay? Except you're still lonely. That's because you're dealing with loneliness, which is not the absence of a body, but it is the absence of companionship. And so if you cannot actually have companionship, it don't matter how many bodies are in the space with you, it's still not going to fulfill what it is that you're looking for. So you're going to keep reaching until you can actually get the companionship that you need. And in order to truly have companionship, you have to be able to have a relationship that has trust, where you are free to show up and be your authentic self. You don't have to show up as who they want you to be. You don't have to show up as the artist. You don't have to show up as the dad. You don't have to show up as the chick who's got it all together with the brows and the lashes. You can just show up and be with all of your stuff, because we all come with stuff. We just package it different. Just because my stuff is in a Fendi bag and yours is in a Target bag don't mean that my stuff is no worse or better than yours. We all come with our own level of stuff. And if we haven't worked through our stuff, how dare we ask somebody else to accept it?
Yeah, I concur with that. I think I learned the hard way anyway. But yeah, I was the one that would always, because I seen it, I would share it and show it. And I'd be like, oh, I want that. I want that. My mom and dad, they were a great example of what love was. They dated each other every day. They big as a house, but they played hide and go seek, running around in a wooden house. I said, y'all won't drop through this wall. Listen, I'm laughing. I'm here playing hide and seek, running around, big self. But anyway, I love them. I saw that, you know, they vowed that they would never go to bed angry at each other. They would find a way to make each other smile. And they taught that. They presented that before the kids. What I did not get taught was how to keep it, or how to actually get it for myself.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't get taught. I was presented with the action of what love looks like, but I wasn't taught how to get it, how to maintain it. That makes sense.
And kudos to your parents for being the example, because a lot of people don't get to see it. But the backside is they don't teach us how to not go to bed angry. We just see that they're not angry anymore. And there's a process on the back end that happens because my stubborn self, we're not going to go to bed angry. Cool. I've been up 3 days drinking Monsters and Red Bulls and coffee because I'm still mad. Okay. We're not going to go to bed angry. So your girl been up for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Because marriage and relationships take work. And so we get caught up in the pretty part that we see. And we don't work. Nobody teaches us the work part that has to go in. We get caught up in the wedding. Yeah. And nobody teaches us how to have a marriage. Like, okay, we're going to go through this premarital counseling. Okay, but what do I do after I say I do? I got to go home with this joker and he squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. Like, we got...
You can't be with nobody. No, you cannot be with somebody that squeezes the toothpaste in the middle.
I'm trying to tell you. This is why I left.
Justified. That's justified in the Texas courts.
Hello, I'm trying to tell y'all.
In the Texas courts.
But, you know, we see examples of what we want, and we think that if we show up that way, that it's going to be enough. We believe that we can love the hell out of somebody, that we could just keep giving them opportunities and we could teach them. And maybe if they come around my family and see it, since they didn't have it in their family, they could learn it. Maybe, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not our responsibility. Ooh, this is going to be good. It's not our responsibility to teach somebody else constantly how to love us.
Wait. Hey, that contradicts, though, what so many people have taught us. If we get together, then I teach you how to love me. You teach me how to love you. And then it all works in copacetic, harmonious melodies.
Constantly, at some point, if I'm teaching you, that means that my effort is going into you learning what I'm trying to give you, as opposed to you learning how to love me because you love me. Certain things I shouldn't have to sit down and work through. Okay, Javon, I don't like it when you do this. Yes, some of those conversations are necessary. But if I got to sit down with you and walk you through every detail the way I got to do with my 12-year-old in this new math, that's too much work. And so if our relationship is spent constantly teaching, then at what point do we get to apply what we've learned?
Mm.
If there's always something wrong, there's always a lack somewhere, at what point do we actually come together in harmony? We don't. Because instead, I'm trying to mold you into giving me what it is that I want, when in reality, there's somebody who already does that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you are a bad person. Maybe you're just not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of energy. Constantly teaching is a lot of energy. Ask any parent who had a kid at home doing e-learning in 2020. It's a lot.
I would concur. I had a situation where I was trying to do situations like play games and have sit-down conversations and come up with different gestures, because I like to be spontaneous. I like to do things differently. But because there was no like-minded, it was just bumping heads. I was here. And it was just like, we were like right here. One was here, one was here, and we're just doing this. We're meeting in the middle, but we're not on the same page. You see what I'm saying? And so when I found that out, I was like, I need to start going into developing relationships, whether it's a relationship to love or business relationship, with assuming I know nothing about the person versus applying this idea of what I assume you're going to be. And then judging you based on how I perceive you in my head, and we've never discussed who you are and who I am, but we're building this thing together. So I would jump straight up there because, like you said, I was presented with what love looks like and what a relationship looks like, but I wasn't taught that. So that I learned the hard way.
Yeah, and we think that simple demonstration yields information, and it doesn't. So we think, hey, if I love on them enough, then they'll give it back to me. No, they won't. They just gonna let you spend your coins.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna be thinking, well, I'm trying to display to them what I want. it's like learning people's love languages, right? Mm-hmm. Love languages work very similarly to the way that speaking languages work. Yeah. If I don't speak Spanish, the louder you get in it ain't gonna make me understand it. You're just gonna be hollering at me. I still don't understand. And so if I don't speak your love language and you're trying to force me to do it, so you just keep doing it bigger and louder and more, I'm still looking at you like you stupid.
Because
I'm
looking at
you for him, what you, hello? And I'm still like, where's the bathroom? You know what I'm saying? Like, doing it bigger and louder still is not going to translate into something that I understand. Right. And so we have to get beyond just demonstration and get to the piece where it's information and application. Hey, baby, I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to wait for you to apply the lesson. And if you cannot, then we need to have a conversation to figure out if we're truly compatible. And that's in church. That's in jobs. That's in friendships, that's in relationships, that's in any ship that you get on. It ought to take you to a place where you want to go. And if not, then you need to reevaluate who's on the ship.
As a life coach, what type of time frame would you give somebody for who comes in, they're trying to get to know this person, they're constantly reteaching, they're doing the back and forth, and it doesn't seem to stick? I know that people's time is valuable, and each person has a different concept of the value of their time. But as a life coach, you say, listen, 3 months in, he's still not getting it. 2 months in, she's still not getting it. Y'all been dating for a year, and y'all still doing this back and forth. What type of time frame would you as a life coach normally give?
So what I don't do is put time frames on other folks' relationships. What you ain't ever going to say is Miranda told me to leave.
Miranda said 6 months.
She ain't tell you
according
that.
According to Miranda's book. Miranda's book says you give a Negro 3 days.
She ain't tell you that. She did not tell you that. Because you won't be mad later in life. Is it good? Okay.
I did that.
Right. Well, as long as
the rest for us, do we get some too?
Come to Dallas.
Listen.
And bring some mac and cheese with you.
Sounds like a birthday trip worth taking.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I got how many days left in the month? We can have a cancer celebration.
A cancer Dallas celebration.
I'm just saying. I take flights, okay?
And Tauruses are invited.
Yay!
You know, it's close to Taurus season. My son is a Taurus. So I know. Late April, early May, Taurus.
I'm May 19th, last day of Taurus.
Oh, you barely made it. You was almost crazy for real because Geminis ain't got no sense.
Listen, won't ever do it again. As a life coach, would you advise someone to never, ever, ever date a Gemini? And may I go further to tell Geminis just to stick with Geminis? As a life coach, can you give that type of advice?
I wouldn't tell Geminis to stick with Geminis. The prison system is expensive, and I'm not trying to pay for all of these people to be in the Department of Corrections. Okay, my taxes pay good money. And I just feel like that's too much to spend because Geminis then killed each other.
Now, my oldest can't hear you all because y'all in my microphones, but she's a Gemini. So I'm saying all this on purpose to make sure she can hear me. My 19-year-old. Yes.
A good father.
Yes. So she's been standing there looking at me for about the last 5 minutes as I talk about Geminis. And yeah,
you
I
might
said it.
Stop, because the camera is going to cut off, and I am in Chicago. I cannot get to Dallas fast enough to save you.
Love her dearly.
I'm not going to get there fast enough.
As you were saying, I'm sorry. Don't let me interrupt.
I don't know what I was saying.
He was saying, would you tell somebody as a life coach not to date a Gemini?
Oh, no, I wouldn't tell them that. It's a couple good ones out there. You just got to shake the pot up. My daddy's a Gemini, so I might be a little bit biased.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So last question before I get you out of here, because this is about you today, and I'm just curious, what makes someone say, you know what, I'm going to spend my life's work helping people figure out and organize their mess and confusion? What was it in your background where that epiphany said, you know what? I know what I should be doing, helping folks get it together.
Yeah. So in all actuality, I went to college determined to be an attorney. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be Claire Huxtable when I grew up. I was like, you know what? I'm a lawyer. I'm going to have a doctor husband. We're going to have a tribe of kids. And any issue we ever have is going to be resolved in 30 minutes. I was going to have the life. And so I went to school, and I went to school pre-law, and I started to mentor. And I realized that people needed people long before they needed an attorney. And so even though I would have made a whole lot more money, oh Lord, as an attorney, I change lives a whole lot sooner as a social worker and as a mentor and as a friend and a coach and a sister. And so I do this work because I went through a whole lot of things in these 38 years by myself. And I feel like had somebody been with me or had somebody looked out for me, I wouldn't have had to sit in some of those rooms by myself, or I wouldn't have had to, you know, I wouldn't have took the left when I should have took the right. Somebody could have protected me from some of the scars that I now have. And so my passion is to prevent people from making the same mistakes that I did. Because if I went through it so that you don't have to, then my going through wasn't in vain.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You muted.
You're on mute.
But that may be a good thing. What were you saying?
Can you come on the show again and help me and Maurice get through our relationship issues? Because I'm going to keep trying to get him to come on my show and co-host and eventually turn it into the Maurice. Why do I keep wanting to change your name? The Maurice show featuring Javon. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. So we're going to have you back on to help me and Maurice get through our situationship.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Again, one more time, how can people get a hold of you? Where do they reach you?
I can be found on Facebook or on Instagram at Moments with Miranda. I'm also on Facebook. My personal page is Miranda Chanel. If you request me on my personal page, I might leave you in purgatory because it is my personal page and I keep searching personal on purpose. But you could also find me at www.mirandachanel.com.
Excellent. Maurice Griffin, where are you at?
I'm right here.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
no, I'm just playing. You can definitely check me out, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I'm all over there. Type in Maurice Griffin. Like, again, world changers. Love all day. 310-388-9323. That's my fan club number. So, yeah, hit me up. I'll respond. I'm the only one that's going to respond. So just hit me up and we'll link up.
Fantastic. And y'all know that this is Javon at Javon Show everywhere where it's important, including in MySpace. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.